Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Monday, December 20th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go there and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click on the link, download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness and get access to a completely free and private app, which is continually updated. It contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences, and a system where you can submit your question anywhere in the app, and it will send an email to Jeannie, and then she will address those questions on the internet show and then email you back to let you know which archive show contains the answer to your question. And when you consider that this is absolutely free and the work it takes and the commitment it takes for them to do this, it ought to blow your mind that Michael and Jeannie are spending all of this time to develop this system and support you and others in the application of these tools. And the entire purpose for all of this is to be of service, to find a way to help you create a better life, to apply these tools to your life on a regular basis, in a consistent, and if you choose to, consistent, persistent way. And it's one of the best ways to improve the quality of your life. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one that have been curated out of the past 11 years of Mind Shifter Radio Show, and those shows are either with people who've been stepped through the worksheet process or given powerful testimonials about how the use of the worksheet process has improved their quality of life. And I haven't talked about it that much lately, but I thoroughly enjoy the use of that, the archives of this internet show, for its good quality content, for a consistent resource so that I can fill my mind with things that are loving and supportive and beneficial, rather than listening to talk radio or television or what people call the news. So we encourage people to do that, to tap into the archive. You can go to whyagain.org and click on the picture of the microphone and scroll down, you can pick randomly, or you can scroll through, and many of the shows have some kind of a description. And Jeannie occasionally puts out the reminder that if you have listened to an archive show and there is not a description, or there's something that you listened to that you really appreciated that wasn't in the description, please send her a note about it and she'll update the description. We're also doing the Course in Miracles workbook lessons this year, and I want to back up to a couple days ago, lesson 352, which was Saturday's lesson, because it holds one of the key phrases in this work. Judgment and love are opposites. From judgment comes all the sorrows of the world, and from love comes the peace of the Creator itself. And this is exactly the same wisdom that's in the Way of Mastery, that judgment is the opposite of love. And if you knew what happens inside your body every time you judge, how the very cells of your body don't function properly, then you would never judge again. So today's lesson, on the 354th day of the year, lesson 354 reads, "We stand together, the Christ mind and I, in peace and certainty of purpose. And in the Christ mind is the power of his Creator as it is in me." Commentary reads, "My oneness with the Christ mind establishes me as the offspring of creation, beyond the reach of time and wholly free of every law but that of creation. I have no self, as a lowercase s self, except the Christ mind in me. I have no purpose but its mind. And he is like his Creator. Thus must I be one with him as well as you. For who is the Christ mind except as the Creator created them to be? And what am I except the Christ mind within me?" So, as we've talked about in various ways, the purpose of this work, the purpose of the Course in Miracles and the Way of Mastery, is to help people understand what a Christ mind would be like and birth access to that, direct, conscious, constant access to that within our lives on a regular basis. Pam Grout's Course in Miracles experiment book says, lesson 354 is titled, "It's impossible to fall short of the glory of God." She quotes Matthew Fox as saying, "We are players, actors on many stages. We yearn to wonder. We long to be amazed, to be enthusiastic, to be expressive. In short, we yearn to be alive." Pam writes, "Although the term fake news is nearly as popular as Vespasio, it recently hit me that the first purveyor of vicious falsehoods was probably the fundamentalist church. It created its entire doctrine around the idea that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Think about it. The first thing a young child learns sitting in the pew is that he or she was born into original sin. My message, the same one that JC and the Holy S came to spread, is that every one of us, without exception, is born into original blessing. And every one of us is entitled to an infinite outpouring of the divine. This flow never stops. It can't. it's impossible for it not to love, to bless, to comfort, to pass out miracles. Sin, in fact, is nothing but a mistaken identity. It's an often repeated item of fake news. Michael Rice likes to talk about how sin in the ancient Aramaic was an archery term. It meant, hey, your arrow went somewhere other than the bullseye. Reorient and take another shot. And the fact that it's been co-opted into something by religions to refer to some kind of a moral shortcoming or a value, a decrease in value as a human being, is pretty dramatic. So, that's our Course in Miracles workbook lesson and Pam Grout Course in Miracles experiment commentary. And as usual, we've got almost 50 minutes left to take your comments, your questions, hear your answers, your refutations. How can we support you today? What's on your mind? 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, I will turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. I was having a session with somebody earlier this morning, and I found myself really highlighting something she said. She said, I know it sounds crazy, but I just think whatever happens, we're going to get through it. And I was baffled. I said, why would you think that sounds crazy? Just imagine the brainwashing that you've been through that says it sounds crazy to think you're going to get through whatever happens in your life. So what one of the many things that we're here to do and help people do is to reevaluate the mental, emotional conditioning that most of us have been subjected to. And just think about it. Life goes on. And most of us today are living in a situation, at least within the United States, where our physical survival is not threatened every day. And yet most of us have practiced that when something goes differently than what we thought it was supposed to go, this is a tragic and traumatic, and we may not survive. Just think about the level of conditioning that had to happen in order for us to think that it's kind of crazy to take the perspective that says, whatever happens, we'll get through it. I don't know how, but we'll get through it. Area code 901, you're in the air. Who do we have? Area code 901. Are you there? Is that an intentional hand raise? 901, you're in the air. All right. I will assume that was either technical difficulties on your part or it was unintentional you raised your hand. Call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, I will announce you by your area code and turn on your microphone. I was saying, just imagine the mental, emotional conditioning that has to happen for so many of us that we think it absolutely sounds crazy to have the perspective that whatever happens, we'll get through it. And this is something that's been going on for many, many decades, maybe centuries, before we had anybody talking about fake news, et cetera. This isn't about anything except the culture and the mindset that we know what's best. that how we think life is supposed to go is the way life is actually supposed to go. And that's grandiose beyond hubris. That's grandiosity beyond hubris. That's to think that what my conscious logical mind can serve up as a set of thoughts about how the day should unfold is infallible and is solid and is the way the world actually should work is really chaotic. It's crazy. My mind that doesn't even know how I digest the food I had for breakfast, my mind that doesn't understand how I walk across the room when my mind says, hey, get up and go to the door. My mind that doesn't have any capacity for managing which nerves have to fire, which muscle groups have to fire, which shifts in nerves and muscles and tension and shifting of gravity, doesn't know how any of that happens at a conscious logical level. It just automatically happens. That mind that doesn't even understand that thinks it knows how the day is supposed to unfold. And it knows it so clearly that every time the day unfolds in a way that's different than what it thinks should happen, it gets very upset. That's grandiose. That's crazy. And what we're trying to help ourselves do with this work is to understand that there's a lot more going on here than any of us have been trained to think about or know about, and that our lives will flow better if we learn to live in the question rather than assume that whatever our mind serves up is the only useful answer. And what we end up doing when we take that perspective is we create fear and bitterness and anger all over the place in our lives where it's not needed. It's counterproductive. So maybe I'm alone. Maybe it's the kind of thing that many people could have heard today and not be shocked by. But when this woman said in our session earlier today, I know it sounds crazy, but I just have the feeling when these things happen that aren't what I planned and when there's a disruption, I just have the feeling it's going to be okay. We're going to get through it. Whether it's the Christmas plans are canceled because somebody's got COVID or it's, you know, there's problems with my father in the nursing home and you know, dramatic shift in his mental capacity. Whatever it is, it's going to work out. But to talk to somebody who's been so well trained through the culture and the family, of course, that thinks to have that thought, I'll get through it, we'll get through it, it's going to be okay, is a crazy sounding thought. That just blew me away. That amazed me. It also was a nice marker for how much progress this person has made in the work she's been doing in therapy, because 4 or 5 years ago, that certainly wasn't the case. She lived more in that constant state of agitation and near fight or flight, or in the fight, flight, freeze, bouncing back and forth from one to the other. And with the use of tools like the ones made available through the Mind Shifters support groups and the whyagain.org website, again, made available absolutely free, people like this have been turning their lives around, have moved from a space of that constant bouncing between fight, flight, and freeze to a space where they solidly feel whatever happens, they'll get through it. And that's our invitation. How can we support you? If you're not already there, if you're not in that space where you feel like whatever happens, life's going to go on and we'll get through it. If you're not there, we've got some tools that might assist you. Beginning with the Reality Management Worksheet and moving on up through the three early memories of conflict and the Codependence to Interdependence Worksheet and what Michael calls the Mind Shifter Tool, which is targeted journaling for me as a psychologist. The Responsibility Communication Tool, the Three Early Memories of Conflict, the Mind Goal Management Worksheet, the Still Point Breathing, which now, you know, for a lot of years when I was hanging around this work and Dr. Michael Rice, the Still Point Breathing was the one tool that he didn't offer for free. And the reason for that was because he had experienced it as being such a powerful tool that if he introduced it to somebody and they went off to do it on their own, it would probably stir up so much energy and help them get in touch with and move so much energy that it would be panic-inducing. And people might think, oh my gosh, this is horrible, this is not going well, etc. When in fact, all that's happening is that energy that didn't belong in their system would be moving out of their system. Well, these days, because of the coronavirus restrictions and because of Michael and Jeannie not traveling the way they used to, in the past year, they've found a way to offer the Still Point Breathing and the Mind Shifter Tool over the internet. So you no longer have to be in their physical presence, and they are offering that to people on an ongoing basis. I forget how often, maybe once a month throughout the year. And if you want information about that, you can go to whyagain.org. And or you can send Jeannie an email at jeannie@whyagain.org and find out about what's the cost, what's the schedule for participating in the Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing virtual, you know, web-based experience. I think I have very good memories of wonderful experiences that I've had over the years doing that Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, almost always in the context of an intensive session, a 9-day or longer intensive session down in Heartland. But a couple times I've hosted them myself up here in either Woodstock or Barrington, Illinois. And it's always been a lovely, you know, process for me. I've always enjoyed it. So I suggest you might want to take advantage of that. You might want to take advantage of the fact that due to the coronavirus restrictions and the fact that Michael and Jeannie are not traveling as they used to, that you can get access to that anywhere that you have internet connection, and the willingness to co-create it or participate with Michael and Jeannie through a Zoom session. So 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, let us know how can we support you today? What would be of benefit to spend the rest of our time? We've got about 34 minutes left. Taking your comments, your questions. Perhaps you would grace us with a topic you would like to have us to explore. Maybe you've got a suggestion for somebody that I could interview for the Mindshifters Radio or for the Journey's Dream On Your Mind podcast, which is another activity that I've been donating my time to, trying to help rewrite the narrative on mental health to one in which optimal health and well-being is possible and expected, and to a situation in which mental health challenges become transformational rather than tragic. And if you know somebody who's doing good functional medicine, alternative medicine, integrative medicine work with people who've had mental health challenges, and you think, wow, I haven't heard Dr. Tim talk about this, give me a call, 563-999-3581, or send me an email, especially if you're listening to this through the archive. Send me an email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, and let me know about the book that you think I should read, or the author you think I should interview, or the practitioner that I should become acquainted with, so that we can continue to spread good options for people to get help and support with their mental health challenges. And we had a integrative mental health summit back in October. I believe it was the 8th, 9th, and 10th. And there were all kinds of people that were part of that process, and their talks are available. If you go to the integrativementalhealthsummit.org, you can still find out how to get access to those recordings. But there were people there that are helping families who have a member who has autism. There were a couple of mothers who've learned a tremendous amount because they were committed to doing the research and finding out what are things they can do other than just throwing medications at their son or daughter who has got the diagnosis of Asperger's or autism. There are people there who talked a tremendous amount about what they've learned about nutrition and the gut biome and how that relates to mental health. There were people there that were talking about really useful things they're finding to help people who struggle with addiction. And and the list goes on and on and on. It was an honor to be involved with that group and to be able to participate. We had a panel discussion about trauma and ways to help people heal from the lasting effects of past trauma. I'm in the middle of a year-long course of exercises I'm doing to try and help improve my brain functioning because of somebody that zingperformance.com that I met through that mental health summit, integrative mental health summit. And this gentleman is a very successful entrepreneur, very creative individual, and he was just bopping along in life as a businessman and an inventor, an entrepreneur, and then his daughter had serious problems. And he thought, well, this is goofy. Why am I spending all of my time, intelligence, money, and energy on these things when my daughter is in such need. So he sold his businesses and started researching brain functioning and put together the program, Zing Performance. And, you know, it's just an example of when people start looking at a situation from a creative perspective. They used to call it thinking outside the box. But prior to this, you know, most people think the conventional approach, what they teach in our medical schools, is if people have a list of symptoms, mental, emotional symptoms, you just go through the checklist of those symptoms and then compare that checklist to a medication list and then prescribe a medication accordingly. And that's our mental health care. And I'm here to tell you that is not anywhere near as productive, functional, loving, respectful as a holistic, integrative, functional mental health approach. And there are all kinds of people all around the globe who are doing that. They're taking a creative perspective. They're taking a more holistic, loving perspective, looking at the whole person and trying to figure out what they can do to help, as I said earlier, turn a mental health challenge into something that's transformational rather than tragic. I also mentioned that routinely talk about different books that I'm reading when I do the internet show, trying to bring a variety of perspectives and flavors to this discussion. And one of the books that I'm reading right now, I've been going through a couple of Pema Chodron books, and I talk about how beneficial I find that, especially because Pema Chodron, as a Buddhist teacher, talks a great deal about being gentle with oneself and learning to go with the flow rather than fighting things and questioning and being in the question. Another book that I'm reading recently is the book by David Graeber that is The Dawn of Everything is the title. Subtitle is A New History of Humanity. And it's shocking my mind in different ways to hear about how indigenous people had deep wisdom and education. It just wasn't the formal education that they talk about in the Western culture or the Western European culture or the Eastern culture. But the ideas that they encountered, that people encountered often when they encounter an indigenous people for the first time, for various reasons, the people who are traveling there, who are either the conquerors, the invaders, or the visitors, whatever term you want to use, they can't believe how bright, how well-reasoned, how well-read, in not in the classical sense of reading books, but having thought about deep philosophical human issues that many of the indigenous people are. The Jesuits, the French Jesuits that went to the Americas and Canada, encountered the Wyandot tribes and found that many of these people were smarter and well-reasoned than than some of the scholars back in Europe. And when people went there and actually spent time with the people in the Americas, the natives, the indigenous people, and then wrote about it and sent those writings back to Europe, people in Europe just basically assumed, well, this person is lying and making this up, or this person is trying to put out these contentious ideas and hide behind the fact that it was presented by some savage native, or this person is just projecting onto the indigenous people their own ways of seeing the world. And in that process, you know, the authors of this book are researching to find out what's the actual truth. Instead of just reading what the learned, what the academic Europeans would say about it, let's go dig up the original Native American documents and notebooks of people that actually visited and find out. And there was two memoirs by this Frenchman of his adventures in the Americas, Curious Dialogues with a Savage of Good Sense Who Has Traveled, which was written in 1703. It comprises a series of four conversations between Lantan, the Frenchman, and Kandiyorunk. And Kandiyorunk is probably the most brilliant thinker and orator that any of the Jesuits, the French Jesuits, encountered. And you have to remember that the Jesuits were the elitely educated, most rational, most well-read of all of the Catholic traditions. And so he wrote about meeting this brilliant native and the people back in Europe criticized his work as simply assuming that the Frenchman made up the dialogues and that the arguments that he attributed to Kandiyorunk were really just the opinions of the Frenchman himself. But recently, indigenous scholars returned to the material in light of what they know about this Native American, Kandiyorunk, the Wyandot, and they came to very different conclusions. The real life Kandiyorunk was famous not only for his eloquence, but he was known for engaging in debates with Europeans of just the kind of debate that are reported in Lantan's book. And there is excellent reason to accept that Kandiyorunk was a real person who was absolutely brilliant in his thinking and his oratory and his reasoned debate. And he was an exceptional council speaker, and he was no less brilliant in conversation in private. And councilmen and negotiators often took pleasure in provoking him just to hear his repartee, just to hear his reasoned arguments. He was always animated, full of wit, and generally unanswerable. He was the only man in Canada who was a match for the governor, Count de Frontenac, however you say that in French. And this count, this governor of Canada, often invited Kandiyorunk to his table to give his speeches, to give his debates. The problem is another reason the Europeans wanted to reject this is because the Native Americans viewed the French and these missionaries as full of fault and disorders. And they said, you know, the big problem here is your money. Everybody's chasing money, and everybody's bowing down to a king or an officer. You people are slaves. This is what the natives were telling the Frenchmen and the missionaries. And these were not the first times the Europeans heard these criticisms. But then he says here, let's take a look at Kandiyarank himself. Let's take a look at what this man would say in the dialogues about religious matters. Kandiyarank says, come on, my brother, don't get up in arms. It's only natural for Christians to have faith in the Holy Scriptures, since from their infancy they've heard so much of them. Still, it is nothing if not reasonable for those born without such prejudice, such as the Wyandots, to examine those matters more closely. So let's take a look at this. However, having thought long and hard over the course of a decade about what the Jesuits have told us of the life and death of the Son of the Great Spirit, any Wyandot, Native Canadian, would give you 20 reasons against that notion. For myself, he says, I've always held that if it were possible that God had lowered his standards sufficiently to come down to earth, he would have done it in full view of everyone, descending in triumph with pomp and majesty, and most publicly. He would have gone from nation to nation performing mighty miracles, thus giving everyone the same laws. Then we would all have had exactly the same religion, uniformly spread and equally known throughout the four corners of the world, proving to our descendants from then until 10,000 years into the future the truth of this religion. Instead, there are 500 or 600 different religions, each distinct from the other, of which, according to you, the religion of the French alone is any good, and it's the only one that is sainted and true. So it's that kind of lack of logic that the natives were able to, some of the natives, especially this particular tribe, the Wyandot, where they didn't have chiefs tell them what to do, they didn't have money and greed the way the Western Europeans did. And it was clear to them that there were serious flaws in the logic of those who bowed down to a king and those who bowed down to their religious gods, etc. So if you think, like most people, most Westerners, that indigenous people are less intelligent and less civilized, you've been brainwashed. And as this book goes on, it is very clear that the way we live in America today, our thoughts about individual liberty and freedom are far closer to what some of the Native American tribes believed than any European notion, because the Europeans believed in kings and queens. They believed in everybody has to be subject to a rule of a superior at their whim. And guess what? On this continent, what we're doing now with what we call democracy is a lot closer to what some of the native tribes believed than what the Europeans who came over here that gave rise to our population as it is now. But you would never find that. You just followed the brainwashing of the culture or the conditioning of most families and cultures in America today. So the core of our work is to question. And I bring up Rilke a lot because he has a famous letter to a poet that he wrote that said, you know, we must learn to live in the question. And in the time that a mind can ask a really good question, in that same period of time, it is not possible for that mind to comprehend the answer. The mind that asks a really good question has to learn and grow and have experiences and stretch. And eventually, if it stays in the open questioning state long enough, it may grow along someday into an answer. And that is our hope. Our hope in life is that we can, contrary to what the Western mind would say, ask a question and then put your nose to the grindstone to find that answer. Contrary to that, our hope in this work is that we learn to live in the question and just relax into it and live our lives with open minds and learn to live through direct observation rather than belief. And the more we do that, the better results we get. The more we learn, the more we stay open-minded, and then we can learn in each new present moment. The more we can ask to be shown by life, by the flow of life in the moment. That's what we're offering in this work. And we're offering in this work that the very best use of any negative emotional state that I might experience is that it is a wake-up call to me that my thought process in that moment is off the mark, that I will benefit dramatically by learning to use any negative emotional state I experience as a wake-up call, as the prompt for me to start using some of the tools like the reality management worksheet and or three early memories of conflict and or the mind goal management sheet, that I use these tools to figure out what my mind is doing to generate that negative emotional state, and then what my mind is telling me should happen in life in order for it to feel better, and then cancel all of that and put myself in an observing state, put myself in this wide open questioning allowing space, and watch how much better my life goes when I learn to live in the question as opposed to believing that my conscious logical mind, every time it serves up a thought pattern that creates a negative emotional state, that it's right and the flow of life and the world is wrong. So we've got some specific tools to help us do that. We have the general request for ourselves and those who would come along on this journey to learn to live in the question and to learn to use any negative emotional state, not as proof that I'm right and the world is wrong, but as the opposite. As an indication that something's amiss in my thought process. If it weren't, I'd be in direct connection with the flow of life, and I would be feeling gratitude and peace and safety and, you know, the certainty that comes from being aligned with the flow of life in each new present moment. And every time I'm not feeling that, that's my proof positive that something's gone amiss in my thought process. And that's kind of a blessing, because it's so easy with practice to cancel my thoughts, to cancel what my mind's serving up as the mechanism for my pain or fear or sadness or guilt or shame. It's so easy with practice to cancel that and open myself to be taught, about life, to be taught about the lessons that are available in each new present moment, to be taught about the innocence of my brother or sister. And that's what we're offering, a set of specific tools. And they're available free, and, you know, an inordinate amount of support for the use of those tools is also available absolutely free at whyagain.org, whyagain.org. Go there, click on the red and white bullseye, or easier these days, click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, and it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book that contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. You can also download the actual tool itself. You can also download a host of these other tools that I've mentioned, from the Three Early Memories of Conflict to the Mind Goal Management Sheet, the Mind Shifters Targeted Journaling Tool, the Communication, Did You Hear What I Think I Said lecture that has the Responsibility Communication Tool part of its description. The list goes on and on, and we are hoping that people just like you tap into it and take advantage of that. Absolutely free offerings. Why would we care about that? Well, because our experience has been that people who tap into those tools and put them to use in their life find that their life gets better. And it might seem like an anomalous concept to you, but we've experienced that the better your life gets, the better everybody around you is. When your life gets better in this way, that you're able to use your negative emotional states as part of a guidance system. I usually say in the introduction, your infallible guidance system. There is a part of the one mind that wants you to be happy, that wants you to be productive, creative, joyful, connected to your brothers and sisters, your fellow journeyers in this thing we call life. And the more you do to make your life better, the better the world around you gets. I occasionally thank people who come to therapy or come to the support groups or listen to the internet show and actually use the tools. I thank them for doing their work. I thank them for making the world a better place. And sometimes it takes some explanation. They go, what do you mean? I'm just struggling here. I'm not making the world a better place. And I tell them, yeah, you know, in no uncertain terms, my experience has been every person who works to make their life a little better is making the world a better place for everyone. I can say that with great certainty because people like Albert Einstein have said things like, your tendency to view yourself as separate and separated from anyone or anything is basically an optical delusion. And that difference, that viewing yourself as separate and separated from other people, literally creates a special fondness within you for certain people and things closest to you. That fondness you have for people and things that are closest to you creates a kind of a prison. And if you want to be free from that prison, the only solution is that you learn to extend that affection or fondness that you have for certain people and things closest to you, learn to extend it to everyone and all of creation. So there's, you know, it's a good thing to have that fondness. The thing that creates problems is when you limit it to just a few, when you understand that everyone you're on this journey with, everyone on this journey is a person just like you, a being of brilliance and light, and they're either acting as though they understand that they're a being of brilliance and light, or their actions are a way to implement a call for help and healing, a cry for help and healing. And if you are to free yourself from the prison that is created when you think that certain people or things closest to you are more valuable and more important and more worthy of your care and attention and respect and affection, what you do in that moment is create a prison for yourself. And the way out of it is not to withdraw that affection, it's to extend that affection to everyone and all of creation. And we'd be happy to help you figure out how to do that. And we're coming up on the beginning of our second hour, so please stick around and bring your comments and questions and commentaries for Michael and Jeannie. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate you.
Oh, your voice is sounding much better today. How are you feeling?
Probably about 90%. I still have some pain in my chest and lungs, and the hospital actually called this morning, and they're wanting to release Dad, and I'm not sure I'm 100% ready to be able to care for him and me, so I don't know if they're going to give me one more day. It's good that he's doing well enough that they want to release him, but I'm just not sure that I'm well enough yet to take care of him and me.
Understood. All right. Well, blessings. Have a wonderful show, and continue to heal.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Doctors Radio. And today is Monday, December the 20th, 2021. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. We'll give Michael just a minute to get dialed in. And I'll just say that I sent out a newsletter yesterday. And so if you're on our mailing list, you should have gotten it. And otherwise, there is a link. You can actually access all of the archived newsletters. And but get on our mailing list. You can go to our website, whyagain.org, and scroll to the bottom. I'm trying to type and do at the same time here. I'm not getting there very good. Anyway, but if you scroll all the way to the bottom, there's a join our mailing list button down there. And so if you didn't get our newsletter, then look for that. We've got several things coming up. We've got the Coptic Conference coming up in January. It's only $25 for 2 full days with 20 speakers. It's all online. And it's a new cycle of awakening, how to thrive in these transitioning times and reach new levels of growth, expansion, and abundance. And several of the speakers that are on there, you would recognize their names. So you can go out there and click on the flyer and look at that information. We also still have the monthly Mind Shifter Still Point Breathing membership going on, and the Codependence to Interdependence Self-Study. And then there's going to be a global book club that's going to be doing a study of why is this happening to me again starting in March. So all of that information is in the newsletter and on the website, and stay connected with what's going on. The app's been updated in both Apple and Google. And so update that on your phone and look at all of the changes, all the upgrades, and let us know what you think. And welcome, Michael.
And congratulations, sweetie, on the awesome work that you did to get the app to this whole new next level. It feels like we've really entered the world of super professional with it and what we're able to make available to people through the app. So it's I know it's been a big learning curve, but what you put together, and I don't know. I just thinking back over the months that it's taken to do each stage of it, I can only imagine that if you had a nickel for every hour you spent on it, you'd probably be able to take us on a month-long cruise. But anyway, it's awesome. It's awesome. I'm just so excited and delighted with it, especially the fact that people can now access our whole website. Things are easy to find right there in the app. I mean, it's just the fact that people can now ask questions. It's all just great. It's all just very exciting. And we are very excited that we get to have this conversation with you one more time and get to extend these tools and the understanding of these tools on a global scale. So we appreciate you lending your ears. I don't know, Jeannie, whether you – I had challenged dialing in to begin with, so I'm not sure whether you mentioned what's happening with our little COVID experiment here, but Gene's dad's doing well. In fact, I talked today about maybe he's ready to come home. He's on oxygen. They've been able to cut the oxygen back, so he's rocking and doing pretty well. And Jeannie is 90, what do you think, sweetie, 95% through it? I think I'm about 99%
through
it.
Yeah.
It's being a powerful teacher and definitely giving us the opportunity, especially with all the stuff going on with Dad. And then we've got a week's vacation plan in January with our kids, and we've got 4 timeshares, and it looks like that might be blown out by this whole thing. And if it is, well, you know, another opportunity to learn forgiveness. In any event, it consciously interacting with the whole COVID thing has been an interesting learning opportunity and learning experience. So a lot of people, I have fear about COVID. Well, you know, people talk about having fear about all kinds of things. We got to stop the mind's lies. You don't have fear about anything in your life whatsoever. You don't have fear about COVID. If there's fear in your mind can hook it up to COVID. It can hook it up to your spouse or your kids or the past or the future or the present or something somebody did 20 years ago or something somebody might do 50 years ago. Can hook it up to all kinds of things, and you go, oh, that makes me afraid. But remember that in this work, our definition of denial is when I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of what's moving inside of me, I'm in denial. And when I enter denial, in order to live in the pretense, that that something is the cause of what's moving in me, I have to dissociate from the real cause, which means I can't do my healing from that state. I have to come out of denial. Denial causes the mind to live in total and complete hallucination, fabricated constructs of the mind become most people's substitute for life, for actuality, for what's actually going on in the world. You know, if I'm mad, I've been through this mad 87 different times with 42 different people, but if I say you made me mad, I have to dissociate from the cause of the mad in me to pretend that you're the cause, to cause my mind to use an hallucination to generate a perceptual construct that you're the cause of my mad or my sad or my whatever it is. So we need to come out of the lying state. And to come out of the lying state means we need to get to the point where we're willing to honor truth, whatever it looks like. Now, one of the things that people need to deal with, any disorder, any disease, COVID or whatever, you've got to have an immune system. One of the number one causes of the destruction of immunity is fear. Well, but Michael, there's so much to fear. No, there is nothing to fear. There's just fear. And if it's there, then there's a way to get rid of it. But you can't live in the lie and get rid of it. You remember they talked about, you know, the opposite of love is that fear, is that where love is not present, the non-existent state there is that state of fear. You go back to the scriptures and look at it in its very real form, and it says to those who, and believe isn't really the word there. To those who are connected to love, all things work together for good. Your link, your connectedness to active present love means that everything is moving toward your highest good. If you let fear interrupt, you know, you remember Yeshua said that which I, or, pardon me, it wasn't Yeshua, it was Job. That which I feared most has come upon me. What he lent his fear to, he lent his creative power to, and he brought it about in his life. So recognizing that what needs to happen is for fear to be collapsed into and forgiven. And that doesn't mean you let fear off the hook. The Greeks gave us a whole, I mean, probably one of the greatest insanities that has ever happened, is that we were told that forgiveness is about me letting you off the hook for what's moving in me. Forgiveness is something to that I apply to something that's moving in me that I'd rather not have moving in me. That's the act of forgiveness. What I lend fear to, I lend my creative power to. If I stay connected to love, then love is the motive force behind every energy field that moves from me and every result that I create. And probably the greatest atrocity done to us as human beings down through the ages and that we've bought into is that we've had hidden from us the fact that we are by nature creators. Which, of course, is an idea that everybody loves when the creation's going well. But when it's not going so well, what does everybody know? They know who the problem is, and the name of the person who is the problem is them. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I know you may have a belief that if they change, your life would get better. And you know what? If they change, your life might get better for 2 minutes, and then you'll be back doing the same creative process again with somebody else. We've got to stop this denial game. We've got to stop pretending anything outside of us is the cause of what's moving inside of us. And so when I heal the fear that I've projected in my brain's image of COVID or anything else, then I remove fear as a factor in that particular field. Ah, now there's immunity. And I'll just offer from personal experience, you know, we've been doing this now for what, 5, 6 days? And the first couple of days I was fairly symptomatic, not terribly, but fairly. And as I observed, as I, you know, how often have we talked about become the thinker apart from the thought, the feeler apart from the feeling, the actions apart from, the actor apart from the actions? How many times have we said that? So it applies to this as much as anything else. And I could so clearly see the gift that this structured energy field called COVID coming into my structure brought with it. And here's what it brought. It brought a tweaking of my immune system. Like, I could feel it. The first night, the whole night, I was in one still point session from the minute I closed my eyes to each time, 4 or 5 times that I kind of came up to conscious awareness. It's like, my body's rocking. It's breathing. And it's moving this energy pattern. And, you know, I have a history. I should probably, having, you know, got canceled the thought, gotten COVID 5 days ago, I should probably be dead with the lung history that I have. And I was almost dead 5 or 6 times the first year of my life. I lived on an inhalator and pills until I learned about healing. They gave me every miracle drug in the book. And if you observe carefully, you'll find that everything comes to deliver to you a gift, including COVID. So as I became conscious and let myself become aware that immunity was tweaking and things in my structure that had been things I've been working on, doing my work around, as this tweaking of my immune system came to a whole new level of resolution. Like, it's been a gift. It's been resolution of things. So conscious interaction becomes a key in this process of healing. And we are here to support everyone moving toward conscious interaction, consciously recognizing who we are as the active presence of love and bringing that active presence of love into the structure to fuel it fully. And if you find yourself challenged in doing that, we're not saying, oh, well, you see, you just do that and then it's all taken care of, like ABC, easy peasy. No, it's not easy peasy. You may have to change 1,000 generations of habitual patterns of rage and guilt and grief. Listen, how many people are talking about they've got so much rage around COVID. Watched a video the other day, and there's a woman who's got her cell phone on, and she's videoing herself, and she's chasing a young woman with a young child around and coughing on them purposely, saying, see, it's no big deal. You can't get COVID from me. I mean, talk about insanity. Where did our humanity go? Time to bring ourselves back to center. Recognize that our physiology is designed to incarnate love and to be fueled by conscious, active, present love. Whatever's going on, and if there's a challenge in doing that, then that challenge is the work. That's what you need to be forgiving. That's what you need to be removing from your structure. Remember, the word forgive means remove. And if you're using the forgiveness tool, awesome. If you're not, we invite you to put it to work. It's simple. It's easy. It's not always easy, but it's straightforward. You can go to our website, whyagain.org. In the upper left-hand corner, there's a button that says Start Here. Start there. And that'll walk you through everything you need to know about how to forgive and where forgiveness needs to be applied. Go to your app store. Type in the word Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, all one word, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. You'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. Step by step, here's how you do it. If you're working with the app and you're in the middle of one of the steps in the worksheet and you have a question, there's a button right there. Instantly, you can click that button and ask your question and send it to us. The commitment's there in many forms, two different variations of the worksheet, the drag-on Klingon game for working with kids, and then this delicious new addition that Jeannie put in called the More button. When you click the More button, one of the first things it takes you to is a 20-minute wellness through stillness meditation. For decades, I've had people using that as their total health care plan, they tell me. And it works. They're free in the app. You can access just about everything on the website right from inside the app. I mean, it's so cool. And, of course, aside from writing a question in the app and clicking the send button to us, which means Jeannie will get it, she'll ask it on the show, we'll answer on the show, we'll send back an email with the time and date stamp of the show we answered it on. But, of course, the radio show is here. 5 days a week, an hour a day, we're here for questions. And if you're listening on your phone through our main number, then if you have a question, all you have to do is push one and we'll be having a conversation. If you're listening on one of the stations where we can't see you in our control panel, then to talk to us, call the call-in number, 563-999-3581. If you dial that number, you'll be listening to the show. And then if you have a question, just push one, and we're having a conversation. And we are absolutely 2,000% delighted to share with you absolutely everything that we have learned in the last 4 decades of working with First Century Aramaic Forgiveness. I'm going to jump into the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and What You Can Do About It. We're coming up to the end of the year. We're on page 169, step 6 of the worksheet itself. And basically what we've been doing over the period of the year is just reading a few paragraphs each day from the book. And so I'm going to cover a couple of paragraphs and we'll open the lines up to see if we have any questions. And so number 6, you'll notice that as you rock along through your life, unless you're just a generally miserable person, you'll notice that as long as everybody's doing pretty much everything you want them to do, you're pretty pleased with them. You're pretty delighted with them. Happy camper kind of thing. You'll notice the only time you step into upset toward people is when they're not fulfilling a goal you hold for them. Now, that is a profoundly important piece of information to understand. Because the thing that is driving your mind to, if you're there, it's hostility, fear, sadness, grief, rage, guilt, drama, or trauma. The thing that's driving your mind to show you that energy is that you've loaded a goal that resonates that energy. It's not because this person didn't do what they didn't do. It's because when you load the goal, it, through resonance, recruits from your mind the unresolved pain or trauma that you're holding. And in any circumstance where you choose to resolve your pain and trauma, you can do so if you apply forgiveness. But it doesn't look anything like, okay, I'm going to let you off the hook for the terrible thing you did to me. It looks like identifying what the goal is that's driving your mind to generate pain perception. Where there is pain perception, there is pain perception because there's something in the unconscious mind that's based in pain, that's of a disintegrative nature, that doesn't belong within your energy field. So step six in the worksheet is, what I really want, and the instruction is to use positive words only. So notice that oftentimes you'll think of, well, what I want is I just don't want to be picked on by them again. Well, that's not what you want. That's what you don't want. Most people live most of their lives out of what they don't want, never truly identifying what it is that they do want. Well, I don't want to be in a relationship with somebody who will abuse me. Boy, I don't want to be. I don't want business partners that would rip me off. And on they go, and then they wonder why they get to live with those things. You get to live with what you ask for. And your asker isn't in your head, it's in your heart or your unconscious mind. When you begin to recognize that, then you realize that by identifying what you want, the goal that you hold, you're now getting a step closer to linking in to the part of your mind in need of healing. So Richard's goal here is to be loved, appreciated, and cared for as much as Amy. Richard agreed that he could see the difference in the energy he was putting out with the two different thoughts about what he wanted. He is particularly impressed by the change in the way he felt as he switched back and forth from wanting his avoidance thought, I don't want to be angry with Amy. I'm amazed as I pay attention, Richard said, how each of those thoughts, the way I feel. You said I would be more sensitive to my feelings if I refrained from smoking and drinking coffee. Could there be that much of a shift in my awareness after leaving nicotine and caffeine alone for just a few hours? He inquired. I let him know I thought that could make the difference. But it was probably a combination of factors, including the fact that he had processed through a lot of emotion and cleared lots of baggage out of his mind in our mini intensive. And in essence, each interaction that we have with someone on this show, if you just observe, it's a mini intensive. It's always the invitation to look at what's the thought disorder. When people have a question about pain, what's the thought disorder helping to ferret that out and to dissolve it? And that's, in essence, forgiveness. So we moved on to step seven. Step seven is an acknowledgement of personal responsibility. It's the step of growing out of long-held childhood fantasies and taking responsibility for the output of your own mind. Only you cause you to feel. Every thought reflects a choice, therefore every feeling is a result of a choice. So step seven is the acknowledgement. You know, I've held the belief that I'm upset at this which is happening around me. So now I'm going to recognize that's not the reason I'm in upset and to look at the true cause. So I'm not upset, number seven. And if you look at the steps in the most current words, she's changed somewhat. But I'm not upset at this person, thing, or event, but at a reality inside of me. If I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. People say, well, no, Michael, I'm in pain, cancel a thought because I got hit by a Mack truck. Well, here's my input. If you your thinking had been on track, you would never have gotten into the path of a Mack truck because your energy field would always be warning you of everything going on around you. And so when I bring my mind back into alignment with truth, then I get to start to heal the thought disorders that would keep me off base. Now, the language in the book, and again, this is 25 years ago. I've learned some things since then. If I'm in pain, I'm in error. And that's a really good way to catch yourself. However, some people can take that and make something tragic out of it. So now the recognition is, if I'm in pain, my thinking is in error. It's like, you don't have to make it personal about yourself. It's okay, my thinking's off base. And then on to step 8 in the worksheet. It offers the opportunity to distinguish between responsibility and the mind's cheap copy, blame. It's time, Richard, to decide what your source is, blame or love. Time to look at what really causes your pain and recognize that every reality output from your mind follows a pattern. Richard's like, been there, done that. Blame hasn't worked for me. I'm ready to go another route. I'm ready to use forgiveness and change every pattern. So step 8. Page 170 in the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? I take responsibility, not blame, for all my realities. Every reality in my mind is changeable. I now choose to connect with love instead of my upset. So each time I find myself in upset, it's because I'm tying into a thought based in disintegrative energy, tying into a thought disorder. So now I want to develop a new habit, and the new habit is every time I find myself moving into a thought disorder, I want to shift back to my connection to love. And the most powerful way I know to do that is just go back to the moment where you held a newborn child and tap into the essence of that newborn. Now, if you don't have that experience, let me loan you mine. It is perhaps the most profound moment of my life where that happened. It was 4:40 in the afternoon on May 22nd, 1981. At 3:40, we realized that my wife was in labor. And at 4:40, my daughter's head delivered into my hands. She opened her eyes with a crystal clear look, a laser look right into my eyes, and she grinned at me. And that pure presence of love transformed everything in my world. If you don't have the moment of holding a newborn, imagine there you are, this new form entering into the world, her head touches my hands, she takes a breath, she looks at me, and sends me into a place where every aspect of my physiology, my mind, my emotions were connected to active love. I think that one of the reasons why we live in a culture that says, Mom, we want to drug you so you're not there when that moment happens, and Dad, we want you drunk and giving out cigars so you're not there when that moment happens, is so people stay trapped in their hostility, their fear, their rage, their guilt, their grief, and their pain. Now, unfortunately, we did a birth at home. But, and I don't know if I'd ever heard of anybody doing it at that point, but if I'd been in that venue in a hospital birth, I'd have been one of those fathers who handcuffed himself when they said, no, you can't come in here for this birth. I beg your pardon. The most important event, one of the most important events of my life, and you're going to tell me I'm not allowed to be there? Surely you jest. Well, this is a medical. No, it's not. I know for insurance purposes, they have to define it as a disease. Giving birth is not a disease. It's something that's meant to happen in the presence of pure, active, present love. It's interesting. If you go back to some of the old midwife writings and stories, you hear the midwives advising parents to have home births with a midwife because midwives wash their hands and doctors don't. Think about that for a minute. And think about, well, we can let that conversation go. In any event, take the experience, hold the newborn, and be with that presence of love. It is absolutely mind-boggling, mind-healing. So every reality in the mind is changeable. I now choose to connect with love instead of my upset. So we're getting close to completion of the book and of this worksheet with our character Richard. And if you have a thought or a question, again, our calling number, if you happen to be on one of those stations where we can't see you, our calling number is 563-999-3581. If you dial that number and push 1, we will be having a conversation. And we would appreciate having a conversation with you. How can we support you? What questions? What isn't clear? What can we make more clear? What don't you agree with? How can we support you? 563-999-3581. Push 1, and we're having a conversation. Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody in the phone keeping a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it is all quiet on this end. I will just give an update. A friend of ours, Cassie, I thought she used to work at the pharmaceutical company, but she's working at the hospital now, and she was able to go into Dad's room with her phone and FaceTime to me.
And, oh, awesome!
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that was really awesome. And I told him, he said, you look tired. I said, well, you do too.
Guess what?
I said, you know, hopefully we'll both get better and have you home in a day or two. And he said, okay. He said, you take care. And so anyway, she said he's doing really well. So.
Well, that's awesome. I could hear your voice in the background. Yeah. I wonder, well, who's on the phone? But that's fabulous.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Sounds like it touched a place in you, sweetie. Please, talk to us.
I feel so helpless.
Yeah.
And I want to help heal, but I'm not sure that I can yet.
So notice, honey, you're used to handling absolutely everything and being responsible for everything and controlling everything and taking care of it all. And now it's time to let go because you can't.
Kathy
time to cancel the goal.
Go down and talk to the, she said she was going to go talk to the caseworker.
Cool.
So hopefully she'll get them to give us a couple more days reprieve anyway.
Yeah. Sweet, sweet. So is it time to cancel your goal to be able to fix everything? Be responsible for everything?
Yeah.
And you know that right beneath that goal is the thought disorder that you're to blame for something.
Yeah.
And sweetheart, you know, I don't know anybody who could be in more integrity with working to do awesome things for everybody you touch. So I support you just letting go of that one. It's just like time for that one to be finished. I join you in finishing it, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's about it.
Well, we've
got
about 25
minutes
left. Yeah.
Somebody press one.
Well, let's have a conversation. How can we support you? What's on your mind? Anything we've talked about, anything that we can help clarify. Or the monologue is over. It's time for dialogue. Dad is two. We need two of us in this. And so if you're out there in listener land and you want the conversation to continue today, now's the time to push one and share what's on your mind. And if there's no further conversation to be had, then I'm willing to just say thank you all for being with us today and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It is an awesome gift to give the world. The world is in such desperate need of it, and you're capable of giving it. We're here to join you in it. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.